Please be seated. The story is told of a Sunday school teacher who had just finished telling her third graders about how Jesus was crucified and placed in a tomb with a great stone sealing off the only way in or out. Then, wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection and the surprise of Easter morning, she asked, "And what do you think were Jesus' first words when he came bursting out of that tomb alive?" A hand shot up in the back of the classroom. It belonged to an excited little girl. Leaping out of her chair, she said, "I know, I know, I know." "Good," said the teacher. "Tell us." Extending her arms high into the sky, she says, "Ta-da!" And then there's another story of a father driving his 5-year-old son past a local cemetery. As they drove by, his son noticed a large pile of dirt beside a newly excavated grave plot. And the boy pointed to it excitedly and said, "Look, Dad, one got out." That's the story of Easter, isn't it? One got out. It's funny because we know one really cannot get out. And because coming back to life after being dead seems so improbable, there have been all kinds of theories trying to explain the resurrection of Jesus in terms that leave out the impossible. For example, there was a book some years ago called The Passover Plot. In this book, the author proposes that Jesus took some sort of drug that simulates death. And then, with the help of some Confederates, he snuck out of the tomb later on and faked his resurrection. Ta-da! Christianity's born. This version conveniently overlooks the scourging, the beatings, and the spear being stuck into his side up through his lungs and puncturing his heart. Another version of that same theme is that Jesus simply fainted. It's called the swoon theory. While he was on the cross, and people just thought he was dead. He was buried, and then in the coolness of the tomb, he's revived. And he manages to unwrap himself, push away the 2-ton rock, scare off the soldiers, and then stagger off, and later convince the apostles that he has died and rose again. This version also ignores the same sort of issues the first one did. The crux of both of these theories turns on whether or not Jesus really died. Did he die, or was he simply faking it? First, that he really did die can be attested by the different witnesses that we have. And the accounts told us Jesus was beaten, scourged, crucified, and also pierced with a spear. Prophetic writings tell us that he was beaten so badly he was practically unrecognizable. The Jews had a law that one could only receive 39 lashes. The Romans, and they were the ones who were carrying out the sentence, had no such restriction. Jesus had been scourged by the Romans, and the Romans used a leather strap with metal pieces tied to the tips as a scourge. And as they whipped, they would literally rip off chunks of skin down to the bone. Jesus was also beaten with rods around the head and shoulders. Then the soldiers also grabbed chunks of his beard and yanked them out as well. The fact is, Jesus was so beaten up, he was too weak from blood loss and or head concussion to carry his cross all the way to Golgotha. After all this, he was hung on a cross. And the cross, in and of an instrument of torture itself, would easily kill a strong man, much less one who hadn't been whipped and beaten as Jesus already had been. And then Jesus was stabbed in the side with a spear. This would have gone under the rib cage, slicing internal organs along with the lung and possibly the heart. The effect of the spear piercing was that blood and water came out of Jesus sighed. Medical people tell us that the blood and water together are symptoms of a ruptured heart. Jesus apparently had died before being pierced in the side by the centurion. Further, if he weren't really dead at this point, the soldiers who crucified him and removed him from the cross would have recognized it. Then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who washed the body and wrapped the body in grave clothes, would have recognized it as well. So the fact is, Jesus really did die upon the cross. He wasn't just faking it. That the tomb was empty is also a fact. The women on Easter morning came to the place where they had seen the body of Jesus being laid out Friday morning or Friday evening. John and Peter raced to the same tomb that same Sunday morning. If it were possible to bring out the body of Jesus as proof that he hadn't risen, the Jewish Sanhedrin would have been happy to do this. But the fact is, they never bring up anything about the body. They avoid discussing it altogether. The only time we have of any discussion of it is when the guards come to tell them about the earthquake and the angels. And at that point, the Jewish leadership pay the guards to say that they, the guards, had fallen asleep, and while they slept, the disciples came and stole the body, as if someone knows who's doing what when they're sleeping. But later, when the religious authorities are talking to the disciples, they don't mention about stealing the body of Jesus at all. There were no pointless accusations of the disciples having stolen the body because the authorities knew that they hadn't done it. Jesus really died. The tomb in which he had been laid was really empty. And then Jesus was seen after his resurrection. He wasn't just seen by one person, one woman, Mary of Magdala, someone who perhaps was hallucinating. No, he was seen by many people. He was seen by groups of people, groups of 2, 3, 10, 11, and at one time seen by over 500 people at once. He had a real body too. Wasn't a ghost, although his disciples at first thought he might have been. But he ate. He breathed on them. The wounds from the cross were still visible, touchable. He could pick up things. He seemed different than before, but he was recognizable. He was still Jesus. He died. 3 days after, the tomb was empty. People began to see Jesus again. And then the disciples became different men. These 11 men changed. They were transformed. When Jesus was arrested and then killed, these 11 men were frightened, depressed, disillusioned. But after they saw the resurrected Christ, they became courageous, excited, and very, very focused. In fact, these were men through whom the entire civilized world of the time was turned upside down. They were witnesses to seeing a dead man come back to life. They believed, they understood. Further, these men were willing to die than to say Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. One got out is, in fact, the story of Easter. And the one that got out was Jesus. So what, right? What's that have to do with anything, even if it's true? What does that have to do with my life today? As it turns out, quite a bit. If, in fact, God raised Jesus from the dead, then God was validating everything Jesus taught us. Jesus and his teachings has the answers to mankind's ultimate questions about life. Life and existence, like, why are we here? What's going to happen to me when I die? According to the scriptures, we've been given a choice about our lives. We can turn to Jesus and follow his instructions on how to live our lives and actually find life itself, an eternal life after this one's over. Or we can choose to continue to live our lives our own way, ignore the teachings of Jesus, pretend it doesn't really matter, and hope for the best when we die. Jesus calls this second choice foolishness, because a person who does this is not planning for eternity. He or she is pretending that death will never come. Scripture teaches us that God so loved humanity that Jesus was willing to come and endure the torture of the cross so that we could come to him and experience life. Because of what Jesus did, we now have a choice. We can follow him because he is the one who did get out. He got out of his grave on that first Easter morning. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.